Hi everyone, I am so excited to be here. My name is Anna and this is Una Paisa en la USA. I have been wanting to do this episode for a while, but I think this is my New Year's resolution and I tried every year. I think the other three episodes I've done about on this podcast are like January 2020, January 2021, January 22, and January 23rd. So let's see if this one sticks. Let's see if I can actually follow through. This episode, I'm going to call it, Dear Mom, Your Kids Don't Give a Fuck. Because that is what I think, and not in a bad way. So first, I want to talk about a transition that I've recently did. And I want to share this, because not because I want to vent about what's happening to me, not because anybody cares about what's happening to me. No, because I think like life revolves around me and people give it. Of course, no. Like you probably don't even know me. And most likely you don't know me unless you're my mom, which I know you're not, because my mom will only listen to the one in Spanish. But because as a mother, I feel like we're missing somebody to tell us the opposite of what the research does, right? I feel like in this country, single motherhood has been kind of, when they freak you out. I am a mental health professional and all the research is the effects of single motherhood, poverty among single mothers. And I get it. I get it. It's hard. I don't think it's more or less hard than it is for like a single parent or for someone parenting with a chronic illness or someone parenting with a substance abuse disorder or someone parenting with less resources. I think parenting is challenging in general, but today, not only challenging, but triggering. But anyways, I keep saying that being a parent is like having COVID. Like you don't know how it's going to hit you, right? Sometimes you feel like you're a very well-rounded person. Like you're ready to have kids and then you have the kids and you're, damn, like this is triggering. A lot of things that you did not know were deep down just come to the surface. And here you go. You have to deal with that. At the same time that you're dealing with lack of sleep and a lot of changes and friends going away and lots of changes. But this transition, I particularly want to talk about because I want to share how I use my cultural background, my social economic background, and my family of origin, something that I had a little bit of shame in a way before, but now that I'm seeing the results, I'm like, thank God this was my family of origin and thank God this is what I come from. So I'm from Medellin, Colombia, from a small town, Bello. It's a very small, crazy place. Lots of things happen there. Mostly single mother town. Mostly the workforce is women. It's a big community. Mostly we do things in community, right? There is always a lot of people around and I get it. That's an advantage that we unfortunately don't have here. And it doesn't look like we're working towards that. I am the daughter of a single mother who was a very strong person. And we went through a lot of financial hardship growing up, but I have very beautiful memories of my childhood. I don't think it was hard at all. Maybe it was hard for my mom, but I never get to see that because she was always happy, enjoying. She drank. She always had people over. There was always friends. There was always a neighbor. She was always given. Even if sometimes we were hungry, we only have like a little bit of food, she would always go out and like share with the homeless. And that gives me a sense of like a feeling of like we have a little bit more, so we're not that broke in a way, because if we could share, that means we're good, which was not the case, but I'm glad she did it that way. My mom had another thing. My mom has never been attached to stuff. She's been a minimalist. I don't know if that's the right way to say minimalista. Like she will never get extra stuff in the house, never more than we need, not only because we couldn't afford it or because we don't have the space, but she was just not into that. So I moved here. I was kind of living very similar to the way I was living with my mom. Then I met my ex. who was a very ambitious person in a good way, very hardworking, successful guy, bought us, me and my son, a beautiful big house with a garden. We got the Labrador, we got the beautiful dog, we got the pictures with Santa. We were a family doing everything together. We used to never be separate from each other. And I just hung on to that identity that I love so much. So much I fall in love with the idea of a family, which was something I never wanted to have in the first place, but or dared to dream that I could have. But I just fall in love with that. And I fall in love with the idea of my kid growing up with his dad, because that's something I've never had growing up. I don't have my dad with me. And I loved us. I loved our family so much. I loved our family to death. And I loved our house since the minute I saw it. I loved every bathroom. I loved every minute with him. I loved watching him with my son. I loved that I was so proud of me. And I wanted to have that forever. I did not want to let go of that. Long story short, he fell in love with somebody else. A person that was close to our family, and they started having a relationship. He would not leave the house. I realized he had a relationship, so I asked him to leave because it was just very unhealthy and there was a lot of fighting. And suddenly things just starting to turn brown and dark, and now there were fights and screaming, and now he will not come home, and now I will see them together at the Dodgers Stadium with my son. And now I'm in school trying to learn the language to move forward so that he could be proud of me and finally chose me instead of her. And trying to like do everything to keep my family together. That didn't work. He moved out with her, or not with her. I really don't know. That didn't work. But I stayed in the house because I loved that house. My kid, I thought he loved that house. So I'll never move. I stay there. He had the key, so he would walk in and out. And meanwhile, I started feeling like, okay, this is happening. I need to like now concentrate on me. I did not have freedom to like talk to anyone or to date or anything, because I was being loyal to that idea of what it was. And I never wanted to move out because I was worried that my kid was going to miss the garden, the patio, the flowers, the passion fruits, the big windows, the dog, the bathtub, the bubble bath, all of that. And then I started becoming miserable because I felt like I was selling my soul to be there. Now, slowly, I stopped loving him. I stopped loving him and I start seeing what was happening as a reality. He doesn't love me anymore. And you know what? What I'm seeing is like, I don't love him either. What I'm seeing is like, there's this other world of things that I really wanted to explore now, but I can't because I kept being loyal to our house, to our family that was not longer there. It took me a while. And recently, 4 months ago, 5 months ago, I decided to move. My biggest fear was that my kid was going to get up in the morning and ask for the bathtub because we don't have one, which is normal to me, but not to my kid because that's where he grew up. And this is so like superficial and vague, but I know that, but that was one of my biggest fears because in a way I felt like I was taking that away from him, that I was being selfish by moving my kid from a 4-bedroom house with a garage and a garden to a single space in which we had to have bunk beds and a small couch that we can't even open because we don't have enough space. So I felt guilty, but then I wasn't happy. And my kid, I don't think he was happy either, or either he wasn't happy or I was projecting on him. We've been here 5 months, and this is what I want to tell you. I've never seen my child happier than the way I see him now. Or maybe I did. Before all of this happened, he was a very happy child. And then a lot of things happened and I could see that he was not enjoying the situation. None of us was. And now I can see like my kids smiling and playing again. And I see myself being so happy now. Not once my kid had asked about the bathtub and the garden and the passion fruits and the garage and the space. My kid does not give a fuck about not having any of those things now. He literally does not care. He does misses a dog. We go visit him sometimes. He does. But what I wanted to tell you is, now I'm realizing the reason I don't have bad memories of my childhood was not because we were poor and I forgot and I suppressed my memories. The reason is because my mom took it the right way. My mom did not let that, my mom did not get into the guilt trip. My mom was happy, pleasant, doing the best she could do and being okay with knowing that that was her best and that was it. She knew when to stop working and when to lay down with us in the floor and laugh and play. She knew how to let us in our PJs all day. What PJs? We don't have PJs, just our regular clothes. But she was okay with us like not showering and just snuggling with her in bed. She was okay with all of us having milk with Chocoramo for breakfast on Sundays. She was okay with not being structured or perfect or the most organized or the most food conscious, you know. She was okay with us not speaking another language. She was okay with us not being the best at anything. She was okay with just us the way we were and with what our situation is, but she never stopped doing her best. But she was okay with making sure that she let us know that she will be there for us and that she loved us. And I think that's what you guys really, I think that's what kids really care about, not what we have. And if there is anything I want you to take away from this, is like, think about yourself, because your kids are watching you. And yes, structure. I am a mental health professional. I work with kids. I work in a middle school. I see kids every day. Kids do need structure and routine. You know what they also need? Flexibility. They need to understand that there are changes that people have to do sometimes. They need to be okay with change, with things not being the same always, with the betweenness of life, with the level of uncertainty that we live, knowing that whatever situation happens, whatever uncertainty we're dealing with, we'll do our best to stick together and we walk through our problems with them, without stop loving them, without letting the daily stress take away the best of us. And if you only have smiles today and that's all you can give your kid, by all means do that. Because trust me, that's probably the only thing they're going to remember. I want to tell you this. Lack, poverty, not poverty, not having new shoes, not having a Nintendo Switch, not having the money to go on vacations, not having two parents in the same house, none of that is going to traumatize your kid. What really, really make a scar is how they see you dealing with that, how they see you navigate world challenges, not the challenges themselves. So keep it up and really chill. Chill. It's not that serious. Just be cordial with them. Love them. And if you can't love them because you're going through a tough moment, then be honest too. And be open to say, like, you know, right now, this sucks and I'm going to need a minute. I do love you though, no matter what I'm dealing with. Just give me a minute and I'll get back to you when I feel better. But feel free to lay down next to me. Just be with me right now and, you know, hug me or let me hug you. But I'll help you with that. I'll help you with that you need right now in a little bit. Anyway, this went too long. This was supposed to be a 10 minutes podcast. You all have a good day. You all have a good year. And keep it up. Bye.